Welcome back to The Life Hustle here at redextra.ie. My name is Emer.
And I'm Vivian.
And we want to say a huge, huge thank you to everyone for, we're just overwhelmed with the response to last week's episode where we announced the closure of the model wing to our agency. It's been a crazy week and we will get around to responding to everyone. But for now, we're just so grateful for all of the lovely messages that we've received and we're still receiving even today.
Yeah, every morning I wake up to a few new messages. It's been really nice. So thank you, everyone.
And it's been amazing the amount of flashbacks. It's kind of ignited that things that we forgot, events that we did and places we went with people, and hearing everyone else's stories has been really lovely.
Yeah, it's nice to take a trip down memory lane and some cringy flashbacks with some fabulous memories as well.
It's so funny. So this week we kind of wanted to do, we've wanted to do this episode for a while. Our guest is someone who we find so inspiring and such a positive person, both online and in real life. Online seems to be a life now as well that we have to take on board. But yeah, she is incredible. So she is fifth in the all-time Irish record books for the women's 400 metres. She is an Olympian, no less. I don't know any Olympians,
no,
do you?
No, definitely not.
I know two and they happen to be married to each other. And we are so, so happy to have Marion Heffernan in the studio with us today. Welcome, Marion.
Thanks so much for having us, guys.
Thanks for coming. Oh my goodness. We have actually met up and we've worked together. We did a little bit of charity work last year at Cork Penny Dinners.
We did. It was a great day. You know, it's such a great charity as well. And I just thought the initiative behind it was brilliant, you know, to get in and kind of get on the ground. It was a brilliant, brilliant day.
She's amazing, Katrina,
isn't she? Oh my God, she's definitely one of the Cork's great.
Big time.
Yeah, definitely.
She is. Yeah. We had our hair nets on and we were making bacon and cabbage.
Mashing potatoes was great.
But you know, for me, actually, what I loved about that was the characters that we met, the beautiful stories from people. It just taught me that everyone has a story. Like, they were at the hatch getting their dinner and they wanted to chat to us. And
definitely. You know, it was even when you go back to the interaction and stuff like that, there are people at the end of the day and there's probably like, you could walk through the city at any given time and you'd kind of nearly, you know, veer away from looking or making eye contact with them, but there's still, you know, there's still people at the end of the day and you have to value, you know, that you know,
they've hit hard times.
Yeah, they've hit hard times.
And it, you know, could be any one of us.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say the amount of stories, like, from, you know, from every walk of life that have gone in through her door.
Nobody wants to be there at the end of the day.
Yeah, I know.
And she's incredible. I mean, we saw firsthand the amount of dinners that she is keeping up with.
Daily.
And did you see the amount that, you know, are sent out in cars out to families who maybe can't come in or don't want to come in and ask for the food?
Yeah.
And she sends them out in the cars as well. And the volunteers that are in that organisation.
Yeah, the whole thing, it's like a hive of activity. And I think the drive behind it is, you know, people that have fallen on hard times, like, that there is help out there, and that, you know, I'd like her energy, and like, her father would have done it prior to her. Like, so, like, for her to keep that on as well, it's like
incredible.
And I love seeing people that have gotten on and gotten themselves, you know,
back on track
and have now gone back in and helped out, you know, is volunteering in with her.
Yeah, exactly. And even the families, like, all different, like, it's, so some of the age groups inside there, like, it's sad because, you know, some of them are school age.
Wow.
You know, and they still have to, they still have to turn, like, you know, they're obviously going to school, like, and if, you know, even for them to go in, like, with something in their bellies, you know, it's just,
and I think as a mom now, we can all agree as mothers that is not what any child deserves in this country.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
But with on a happier note, tell me, Marion, we're dying to know your story. So, you know, we see in the media a lot and we see all the fabulous work that you do. You're doing a campaign at the moment, an initiative that you were in Dublin for last week.
That's right. It's the Festival of Running. It's been run in conjunction with Athletics Ireland and Irish Life. So the whole thing behind it is, like, there's a massive push with running across in the country, like, at the moment, like, and, like, running is for everybody, you know. So there's the elite and there's the people that have just couched to 5K, people that just do it recreationally, but we're all under the same umbrella, like. So what they wanted to push is, like, you know, they're going to run a mile race, not race, mile event for kids, and a 3 kilometres, very, very doable,
great idea.
3 kilometres, and everybody is going to finish on the National Athletic Stadium track, and then they get to watch the Irish athletes that are going to the World Championships this year, and that will be performing in the Olympics next year. So it just kind of merges them all together, and it kind of, like for us, a big thing was like, yes, or on Sunday was that kids will get to see the best of the Irish athletes that are actually on show, you know. So like,
they can
if they enjoy doing the mile race, or if they enjoy, you know, if their mum or dad is doing running as an activity, that there is progression, that they can kind of enjoy it together. And it's all about the family and like using running as an activity. And
it's
like
amazing.
It's something that, like, obviously we've done sport, us as a family, but like it's a thing I use now still to keep fit, to keep my head right, to keep, you know what I mean? Mm. So it's,
and it's free, and exactly, you don't have to do it on a schedule, which is
no
amazing.
And it's like I was a sprinter, like, so I can, my whole thing, it's like a tool, like running is a tool for me, like that I can go onto the track if I feel tired, I can just do 20 minutes, if I feel great I can do 2 hours, but I have that in me that I can always tap into, you know, and it makes me so happy to still do it, and I'm so grateful for it. Like,
and take us back to your teenage years. How did you get into sport?
So I'll have to take you further back, because
okay,
I got in when I was seven. So there was a running club started up where I lived, and they trained twice a week, so you had to be seven to go there. So I had two older brothers, so they would have started before me, so I was always itching.
You were dying
to go. Itching to get there, like. So just started, it was just, you know, up into the school hall, you'd kind of go out onto the school pitch then and run, and I was fast, you know, so it's kind of, it's something that, like, you know, I don't know, like with kids, like being told that they're great at something, like, and I would have been a messer at school, so I was never with this, the praise is never going to come from there. So it was just something that, like, went in and, like, went to my first competition, ran with the school, and there was a really good, we had a really good teacher in the school, she was a third class teacher at the time, but she was just like, she was a camogie coach, but I thought she was like the best athletics coach ever. So
isn't it amazing how all it takes is one role model in your life that can inspire a child to stay in something?
Exactly. And she had no links to athletics at all. She was just somebody that motivated.
Wow.
And it was like, you know, Marion, you're great, you're this and you're that. And I was like, I got so much from it. Like, so I was with a running club up until I was 15.
So right through school,
right,
if you had a bad day, or I remember we had Rena Buckley on and she was saying that, you know, back in the day in school, if you had an issue or someone had an issue with you in school, you didn't go home and obsess about it. It might put you off and you might have a bad day, but you went home, you changed your gear, you had your dinner, you changed your gear, you went off out and you ran around for an hour in a field, and nothing else mattered.
Yeah.
Your head
was
cleared and you went back into school happy out the next day, because it was like almost like a tonic, like a
definitely outlet. And I think you don't see it, obviously you don't see it as a 9 and 10 year old, that you're going to get in headspace.
Yeah.
But it is that kind of, like, you know, whatever negative stuff was put on you that day, it's great to kind of like process it out and just get active, kind of shake it off as such, like. But so like that was the kind of juvenile side of it. And then I think, and it's gas, because like now there's such a kind of you know, a focus on like how to keep girls in school, or not in school, in sport from like 14 to 17, and it's a very kind of a critical time. But like,
why do you think, are they falling off at a certain age from certain sports, is it?
From every sport across the board, and there's a massive drop off, but I think it's down to like
Love Island,
yeah. Blame it all on Love Island.
Makeup, discos.
Yeah, I don't know, is it like that their body changes?
Okay.
Like they go through so much, they get self-conscious, and they just, you know, I think as kids you can see the fun element of activity and sport and your event, but then I think when you come to 14 to 16, it's kind of like you have to kind of tap into that winning side, and you're accountable for the training you do. So I think there's that,
it's a
can
bit more competitive then.
I think they can be more of a competitive aspect to it. So I think that can feed it. But like I don't know where it came from, but like when I was 15, I was like, you know, this club I was with was a juvenile club, so I was like, I want to go and I wanted to run. So I like left that club, joined a senior club, which was Troker.
Wow.
And like, I don't know, like,
it was just in your bones.
But then there would have been 6 of my friends started running and had run with me all the way up, and they all stopped.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was the only one that kind of kept going. So I don't know, you know, I think.
And was this something like before you'd go training every week that you were like, I can't wait to get there. Yeah. I can't wait to get over the track.
If I was taught, like, my punishment would be not to go to, like, you're not allowed to go training. Like.
So in my house, yeah. It was no home and away for the week.
Yeah, yeah.
In your house, it was no running.
Oh, if I wasn't allowed to go training, or if I wasn't allowed to do it, like, I'd be, like...
Devastated.
Wow. Yeah. And even, like, when I was 16, so, like, my parents drove at the time, like, but they were working, so I would have to get, at, like, 15, 16, I would get the bus 3 times a week out to Ashton school, and then I'd run from Ashton to Toker, then train, then run back. Do you know, so like, I don't know.
Wow.
Like, I think it was in me, you know, so I don't know. Like
you only do that if you have real joy for something. Yeah. You love
I think even with changing my kind of environment and kind of moving to a senior club, you kind of feed off what's there.
Mm.
So like the senior athletes there would have been very kind of organised and they would have trained every day. So you kind of like, you're in the environment to kind of like mimic.
Okay.
Do you know, so like they're doing that, so this is a senior club, so I need to do that as well. So like I think that ticked my box for the time that I should have been on the decline or should have kind of lost interest.
Isn't that amazing? It's almost like a different type of schooling. It's a natural kind of type of schooling that you aspire to be like.
Yeah, but even like the juvenile side, like you kind of leave your the kid in you behind, and then you kind of, you're developing differently. You know, so I think that I was lucky. I didn't do it on purpose. I did it because I wanted to continue running, and that's it. Nearly happened haphazardly, you know. But it obviously worked.
It's amazing. Yeah. And at what stage while you were in the senior club, did you always think, you know, it's a future goal for me to go to the Olympics?
Yeah. Well, goal, yeah, definitely. But it's very, very hard to get there, and not everybody that even works hard morning, noon, and night that they don't necessarily get there just from hard work, like. The Olympics was always in the back of my head, like always, and it was like, first of all, you have to kind of compete for Ireland. So like I did that at 17.
What an honour to do that.
Oh, it's huge. And it's like, I still like it photographs now at the time, like I've no phone to scroll back on, but it was like I'd still get out the album and I'd look through, and it was brilliant. It was a brilliant time, and like I'll always remember it, like. But yeah, so like it's just, and it's hard because you kind of think like Olympics is, but like you have ups and downs, you know.
Yeah,
so like 19, 20 would have been a very shaky year kind of performance wise. So you kind of, I think once I had a bit of a focus, like Olympics wasn't the focus then, it was like just to keep running. And like sometimes it was like I didn't want to do it, but you know, it was my sport.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to compete in the summer, so I had to put in the work. Like, so I think by kind of having that in your head, it kind of happens nearly naturally, you know. So.
And when it came around to 2012 and you were heading to London, what did that feel like? Like, did you feel, obviously you're excited, you've built up to this, you've trained for it, you're ready. But do you feel a pressure going over?
I think you're kind of geared up. Like the 4 years prior, like that Olympic cycle. So like from Beijing, we had a chance of me getting to Beijing for the relay in 2008, right?
Okay.
Or 2008. But we were, of 16 teams, we were like 17th or 18th. So like, we just missed out. So like, that kind of ignited in me. It's like, no, we can do this. And like, there was a pocket of girls there that were very, very good. So we went there as a team, like.
And when you get that close to a goal.
Yeah, and it's attainable. And you kind of said, all we have to do is like put in 4 more years and it will, it should.
That's
so like you
amazing
kinda,
focus, isn't
yeah,
it? Like
amazing.
4 years seems like a lifetime away,
but
just,
it's not, it flies.
And
when you think
what?
Of athletics terms, it flies.
People
like,
kind of focus on all these micro goals and small steps, but it just shows that if you do have a bigger picture plan, it's, you can do it if you just take
the baby
steps.
Oh, definitely, yeah, but within the 4 year cycle, like you still have European championships, you still have European indoors, world indoors, European outdoors, world championships before the Olympics. So you're kind of, you don't just arrive at the Olympics kind of like,
here we are,
elated, kind of saying, here, where's the track? But it does prepare you. So I think, and it was like the Olympic year, because like there wasn't pressure on me and Rob, but like we were the first married couple ever to make it to an Olympics.
Wow.
But it was for me, like we went on the Late Late Show, say like 2-3 months before the Olympics, and I was afraid to say, I'm going to the Olympics just in case. I broke
something
my leg
happened.
Coming down the stairs, you know, that kind of way.
That was, so it was 2012,
very,
wasn't it?
That was 2012. Yeah. So it was very hard to kind of like, until, say, like,
you were getting
the week
on the plane,
before.
Literally.
Yeah, the week before, it's kind of like, all right, I am going to the Olympics.
It's,
do you know, it is happening, and you can say it out loud because the training is done. All you have to do is go out and perform. So it's like, for me, that was, you know, you don't like not want to jinx it, but it's like, all right, until it happens,
yes,
don't.
And how do you handle that media side when, you know, you go into something for the sport, for the love of the sport, and you don't really realise that there is this, if you get to a certain level, there will be extra eyes on you. So, you know, A, you're a role model automatically for children way outside your catchment area and other teenagers and adults. But B, you have to give up a little bit of your privacy, I guess, as well. How do you manage that?
Somewhat. I think when you're like when you're an athlete, it's kind of clean living anyway. So you're not going to be doing anything bananas. And you're kind of, I think when you're, it's not like a team sport because it's an individual sport. You kind of, you're answerable to yourself and like you don't let yourself do that anyway. You know what I mean? So yes. I think you're very, it's very, very disciplined. And I think only coming away from it now, you realise like how strict you were on yourself. But it's naturally, it's not like I put massive pressure on me to be strict or I need to be a certain way. It's just you live that lifestyle. And you know, like I've, like the Olympic year, like all my friends got married that year and I missed all their hens, I missed all their, but there was not a sniff I was going to them because I had to train.
Yeah,
you know, and the one I actually did end up going to one in Manchester, and I sourced out a track, didn't go out.
No way.
I swear, yeah, but that's where you are at. And that's like, if I was doing anything other than my sport, it would have taken from what I had to do the next day. And then
isn't it like so many people struggle with where not knowing where they should be at? And isn't it amazing that you found something in your life that you were able to, like, you knew your authentic self and you knew what you had to be and nothing really, like, you were just dedicated to what you did. You didn't conform and go, Era, look, I better go on that hen now and go out in the piss.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens as well a lot girls, especially when you come into sport. Like, unfortunately, there is that drinking element.
And there's the social life, the social side of it. But I think when you say Olympics, like, I think people kind of give you a break. So I feel like I'm going to the Olympics. They're kind of all right, look, to be fair, I'll leave you off.
Yeah.
But I think for yourself, if you are doing a sport or if you are just, even if you're just running recreationally, just like once you kind of relay the message to them, like, you know, this is important to me. I actually want to do this.
And
I want to kind of do this.
And if they're a supportive group, they'll be.
Yeah, you know, it is like, and I think when you, like with girls, with anybody, it's hard to make that commitment and to kind of say, all right, I want to run a marathon. Mm-hmm. And it's like, by you saying it, you're making that commitment and everything you do after that is kind of measured on you wanting to run the marathon. So true. I think, do you know, like, because I had to go, like, because I was running at the Olympics, it was the only focus. But like, it must be hard for people that are in sport to kind of say, look, oh, like, I'm not going to go on that because I have a match tomorrow. Or like, because it's like, but you're only playing in, you know, a junior championship or whatever.
But maybe that's your Olympic.
Exactly. But I think you have to kind of, if you're going to make a commitment to a sport or even, you know, your event, just, you know, go in, you know, hold on to it. Like, because you do, I think you do get tools from it. Like even with me, every, like, there was 4 years of me having targets every single day. So like, I'd have my, every day. So like, if I went into the weights room, I had to add on 2 kgs. If I had gone on the track, it was like, you know, you have to run a half second quicker over this. Then you have, and like,
how long were you training for every day? Like, would you train
3 hours
and afternoon?
No, just once. So 3 hours. Yeah.
Wow.
Start to finish. So that you're, there's warm up and there's your session or whatever. Like, but it's, I think that kind of gets you ready for the next stage of your, you know what I mean? So like, if you can kind of say, like, stress is good. You know, and it's good to kind of say, all right, push yourself or like have a bit of a target. It's not going to, you're not going to be a ball of stress at the end of the Olympic cycle. You're going to be prepared, do you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, I think kind of like when you, like, all right, if you do it kind of like 50-50.
Yeah.
I think when you actually go out and try to perform, you're not going to have that kind of buzz.
What's the biggest thing you learned coming away from the Olympics?
I think there was loads of stuff. Like, I can't pinpoint any one thing. I think going to the Olympics and being a part, like, because I was an individual for the whole lot of my career.
Yeah.
And like, all my opportunities for Olympics, World Championships, they all came with a team event.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, I think that is, I think, like, the kind of that girl camaraderie.
Brilliant.
It was brilliant. It really was. Like, and I probably, if I would have, like, different, like, I don't know, you can't plan it, but like, had, you know, had I done sport, like a different sport, I don't know, like, would I have been a better Gaelic footballer or hurler or something? Do you know what I mean? Like, so you don't know. You don't know. Yeah.
That's amazing. So at the moment, you are still working in sports. Now, you've had a family.
Yeah,
you have a big family. You have a busy house.
Yeah.
How do you even juggle it? Like, we're always we're always looking for tips from other moms.
Oh God, I don't know. Am I the right person?
Swing it. To be honest, you sound like you're very good at structuring your days. Anyway, you've had to do that for a long time. That has
I think you prioritize, because when I went after I retired, I went and worked with Rob for his next Olympic cycle. So his Rio cycle, I came on board and I was his kind of manager as such for the 4 years. And it was just, I think you kind of, I don't know, I think you have to weigh up like what's in your life at that minute, you know, and it comes down to even like our first holiday was 2012, our first family holiday.
Wow.
You know, so like a lot of our trips away would have been
Around
sport,
running.
Yeah. Do you know,
I love how you take the family with you, though, on all the sports
trips.
Yeah,
but we couldn't. Yeah, I couldn't. We're away so much. I think everything. I'd never see them.
But I've seen as well. I don't know what I was reading a couple of, it was probably a year ago. But you were both saying in an interview how lucky and grateful you were that you get to be around your children a lot, because you have kind of been double jobbing, I guess, really a lot.
Yeah, I think it's you know, for definitely from training, like when you're on training camp, like it's a month away up in a mountain. There's nothing there, only training. So like,
wow.
For me, anytime I finished a race when I was competing, it was only Cahill and Megan there, but I felt so guilty. Like I'd literally cross the line of like, I want to go home. Oh. Do you know, because you don't want to be there another night to wait for a flight the next day. It was like, my job is done. I can go home. So I think like we brought them, because the training day, you train in the morning, you eat, you sleep. You know what I mean? You go back training again. So there's two training sessions within the camp days. Like, okay. But like, I couldn't have been away from the kids that long. You know? So it was brilliant for them. Even like Cahill and Megan grew up there. The girls kind of came on the tail end of the, of it. But like, it was brilliant for him. You know, it was brilliant times. And I think like, even him doing sport now, like he understands, you know, what the commitment
the discipline
is. And he understands. And like the fact that he's not there yet, he's only 14 now, but like he's kind of, you know, he's enjoying the kind of team side of it. He's enjoying the kind of fun element of the sport now. And like, if he progresses on and competes at senior level, like at least he knows where he needs to be.
Where he needs to be.
Like, but
does he listen to you for guidance at home?
He does. He does. Wow. Me and Rob are very different.
Okay.
We're really, really different.
How did you meet?
Oh, so we were in the same club. The club I joined, Talker. Okay. Yeah, so I joined it when I was kind of like 15, 16, and he would have been 20. So like, there was no way he was mingling with me at that stage. Like, so I was like, you know, I don't know, was it like just timing or whatever? Like, but we kind of got together when I was 19 for like a week. It was just kind of
you
know, breezy kind of like
summer loving.
But then. When I was 22, it was like he was injured, I was injured, and it was like we would be in contact and a text and back and forth, just kind of like, how are you getting on, how's your training going, what are you up to, blah blah blah, whatever. But like we kind of met up. What really happened, he was like, I was injured, so he was getting treated out in our clubhouse, and his physio was like out there with him, and he was like, he was like, you know, Liam's outside, he goes, do you want to come out and he can look at your ankle? And I was like, I said, no, I said, look, I'll get it sorted another time, blah, blah, blah. So he was like, kept on. So I ended up going out to the clubhouse, and like the physio, he didn't tell the physio at all. So like the physio met me on the way out, and I was like, how are you, Marion? How are you getting on? I was like, ankle. So Rob was kind of like bull bred inside in the clubhouse, and ended up kind of showing me exercises and whatever. And it was like, okay.
It's just awkward.
This can't be our first.
Yeah.
So we went for coffee and kind of just, we were kind of chatting prior to that, like, but we just kind of, like, we just kind of started, do you know?
You just hit it off.
Yeah, and it was because we were in the same club, we didn't tell anybody until, like, we were kind of together 3 months.
Okay.
And it was like, all right, even telling the coaches of the club, it was kind of like,
I suppose it's a big deal.
It is. It's very big, like, because it's, we were never like that in the club. We were friends, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it was a big step to even say it out loud. But then after, like, we moved in with each other after 6 months.
When you know, you know.
When you know, you know. Exactly.
She knew each other for so long.
Exactly. Yeah. It sounded a bit like bizarre even when I kind of went home to my mum, because like she'd only found out at the 3 months.
Okay.
And it was like, we're moving in together as well.
So, fast mover.
Yeah. No, it was brilliant. Just kind of went from strength to strength. Like he got over, like he had two operations and he was after being kicked off his funding. So like we were literally pauperized.
Oh my gosh.
Big time, like. And we had this like rent and everything, and it was just so
hard.
He got his operations, and 8 weeks after he got his operations, he got the A standard, which put him back on funding. And that year then he finished seventh in the World Championships, which was like, it was brilliant. Incredible. It was brilliant, yeah.
What a buzz to kind of overcome a challenging time and to get to
that. People don't see that side of things. Like, it's really hard to make money in sports.
Oh, it's unbelievably hard. It's luck, and it's like, it's very, very tough. And when you think, like, even in Osaka now, like, when he got seventh and there was a little bit of, we thought we were minted and we didn't have, like, this, do you know, and it was pittance, like, but it was just
so big, it was such a big deal.
But we were so grateful for at the time. And you kind of get a buzz to work, not that it's kind of financial, but it's kind of like, all right, you know, I'm there, you know, yeah, and it's momentum, and you kind of, you get the drive from so many places, you know, so even the fact that somebody acknowledged that you've done well by giving you, like, you know, a couple of hundred euros or a grand or something like that. Amazing. You're kind of like, you know, you're over the moon. Like,
but it automatically encourages you into your next phase.
Yeah, like. Yeah. It's like somebody took a chance, or somebody kind of recognised it. Like, so,
what is the one thing that, as a couple, maybe you never expected you'd experience, or what was? Not Dancing with the Stars now, because that was
well, really, I have to mention that now.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed watching.
It was brilliant. And I think for Rob, like, I think for, because I stopped working with Rob after his Olympic cycle, and then he kind of went by himself for the year after, I kind of known that he was on the decline. I was like, I went back to college, finished off my course, and I was like, you know, it came to the point that he was like, I can go back and I can get an Olympic qualifier, but his heart wasn't in it. And I think, coming away from the sport where you're not told you can't do the sport, or you're not going to be picked for this, or like, he kind of came away from it on his own terms.
He had to make the decision.
Yeah. So, but it didn't, it wasn't that easy. Like, so he kind of got the opportunity to do Dancing with the Stars, and we were like, do you know what? Just do it.
Do it.
You're going
nice
to be gone.
Boost.
He can't dance. So I said, you're going to be probably gone. He can now. But I said, you're going to be probably gone week one, week two.
But there was a lot of training in it, wasn't
there? Oh, huge. There was the commitment. Like, he moved to Dublin, like, for nearly 4 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Because he genuinely was doing 12-hour days most days. Because he had to, like.
You're such an amazing couple, how you support each other, that you have had your time where he has supported you, then you've supported him when it's his time to shine, and, you know, that you kind of work very well that way.
But I think that's the kind of secret of the next stage of your life. Like, if me and Rob were to kind of, like, be on the track for the next 10 years, like, ourselves, me helping him... Like, that's not, you're not growing, you know, you're not developing. And I think a big thing for a couple is develop separately and then come back. You know what I mean? Or even have a stint that, like, me and Rob will never have that time back again where, like, I'm going to be 100% committed to his thing. You know, it's brilliant that we had it, but it's like, we're at different stages of our life. And I think that is helping us now. You know, so it's...
So you have your personal...
Yeah.
You have to evolve yourself personally
and it
to
was,
grow
yeah, as a and it, but it was tough, like, for me to actually go and help Rob. It was brilliant, but I didn't grow at all. That, like, it was brilliant that I was helping him, but, like, I got very little personally from it, you know. So, like, as soon as it finished, it was like, I need to go and I need to finish off my college course.
At what stage did you start the college? Was it before?
So I would have started it. Yeah, I would have started it in 2008.
Okay.
2009. So I would have done 2 years, and then I've had to finish the 18 months then after. So,
and you're a qualified sports injuries therapist.
Physical therapist, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, I'm working away, I'm enjoying it. Like, and you're kind of still... You're still connected with the sport.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that...
It's great to do something that it's...
Yeah, and I think we're still... I don't know, like, I love the fact that I know you... Like, I'm very performance-minded, but I use sport, or I use running now as a means... It's a different tool, you know? It's, like, for my head. It's for my fitness. It's for, like, my life. But I can still see the performance side when people come into me and they're doing marathons or they're running internationally. Like, you can still tap into it because...
You can help
it's
them.
But it's a kind of a feeling that you get from somebody that, like... They want to get better, and you're like,
brilliant.
You feed off each other.
That's
know what's
brilliant.
It's
brilliant.
And you've taken up cycling recently as well, have you?
No.
I read that on an article.
Go back to your notes, Viv. No, I did in 2000. I was the ambassador for the On Post Cycle Series 2 years in a row.
Okay.
That's when I had the girls. But
what's between the girls, actually? They were quite
14 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was tough. Like, it was one of the trips, like, Rob had two operations in 2015.
You have some memory for dates.
Yeah, well, I know.
That's amazing.
I know, these are etched into my brain. They were so tough. But he had two operations in 2015. Tara was 8 weeks old.
Wow.
Regan was 18 months old. And I had to pack up and leave for Morocco to go training for a month. Like, there was, I had no sterilizer, no cot, no nothing. It was like, it was, I was washing my clothes in a bath, or no, all the families, like, there was nothing there. It was like third world. But had the girls over on the camp, like, and had to look after the three lads.
That is incredible.
Yeah. But it, do you know what? It was, you did it because you have to do it. Like, I couldn't see it as a full-time career, but like, that was the time.
It was just the timing.
That, know, it was that was the job at the time. Like, and like, I think knowing where Rob was at performance, that you can't kind of turn your back, because he is competing at the end of the day. Yeah. He's going up against the best in the world.
So
yeah, and he's able to win medals. And you, like, that's the kind of, like, you'll do it. It's like the leave insert. Do you know, you'll put in the kind of the mad hours, and like, because it's like, you know,
the end goal is there,
but like, you're probably going to your college years and never tap into that ever again until like maybe the 2 weeks before the exams. Do you know? Yeah. But I think it's a time where like, you'll take the hit, you'll take the tiredness, you'll take whatever, like, and
hope you've kept like a diary for the girls. Can you imagine telling them that they were?
And I'm not really an Instagrammer either, so I've nothing to kind of leaf back and show.
Amazing though, like, you've such an amazing story, because you've, for such a young person, you've experienced so much.
Yeah, but I think you take things, I think you take your opportunities, and you even take where you're at in your life now. Like, we were, like, sport was it for us, right? And then, like, Rob kind of going on Dancing with it, like, you're kind of on a different, you're on it, like, you're seen differently. But, like, I think you kind of always have to
evolve
and kind of even evolve, but still kind of staying true to you. Then at the end of the day, like, you know, I'll never go back to sport. But it's there, and I can tap into it. I know what I was thinking then. I kind of, you know, you become very kind of, not self-critical, but like, I'm trying to think for the word, of the word. The word isn't coming.
But I just think, you know, like, the days are gone where you have one job. I think this is across the field. Before, you just picked a job after school, and that was what you did until you retired. And that was what was expected of you, you know. And I think from an athletics point of view, I know in the workplace in general, women gave up work. They weren't allowed work once they got married in Ireland.
Yeah.
Back in a certain, only a couple of decades ago. So I think we live in great times that we can change the blueprint. We don't have to stay doing the one thing all the time. You know, you can follow your passions, and the road can split, and you
definitely
can take a different road.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, women across the world, we've many hats, you know, and I think we'll thrive on it. We'll grow from it. And it's like, it's great. Like, even like the fact that you can go in job share now, you know, you can have that life. You can like raise your kids. You can, you know what I mean? It's
so
like,
important.
Yeah.
It?
And it's like, I think we're in a privileged,
we're in a very
privileged. I know it's hard, and it's like, you know, trying to keep up with images or even trends or whatever, like, it's hard, but I think we're in a very good position that we can do it all as such. And I think if we can't do it, there's no pressure put on us. It's like, we put the pressure on ourselves, but I think
people
are so open to like honesty and like what you're actually, you know, how you live, and like, you know, the taboo, sometimes like the taboo issues behind it. Like, but it's, I think once you're kind of true to yourself, once you kind of stick to your kind of blueprint yourself, I think you can transition to kind of anything,
so
you know, motherhood, everything, you know. It's
great,
great advocate for that.
And what advice would you give, Marion, to any young people out there who really have a passion for running or for a particular sport, and maybe they're not from a sporty background or a sporting family? What would, and especially in today's environment where the internet and Snapchat and, you know, kids don't hang out in person together as much, but to anyone listening who really might want to pursue it but thinks it's such a far away thing for their, how their life is at the moment?
Yeah, I think at the minute, I think, all right, there's a massive push on a healthy living and healthy lifestyle, and then there's sport. And I think the two bleed into each other. And I think, like, sport can, like, expect that the image that the kind of blogger or whatever you want to call it, like, or the Instagram life, they don't cross over, because, like, you know, I would have got very fit and I looked really fit, but it was by default I wanted to get better at a sport. It was, like, you know,
yeah,
it just happened.
Your motivation was the sport.
And then at the end of the day, like, you know, I was really muscly. I was cut up. I was like, I had a really good figure. But like, I think if you're going to do sport, it's not to kind of, like, that kind of, that
to get caught up in the perception, the
online
perception.
And it's like, it's, I think it, they don't, there's no connection with them. Like, you know, sport is sport.
And it's interesting you said that, because Rena Buckley said the same in her episode with us, that, you know, you see these images of women in sports online and they... there isn't a bead of sweat. Their hair is perfect. They yeah. have makeup on, lashes done. You know, that's actually not how you, it's how no, it is in the trenches.
And a lot of it, like a lot of, all right, sport is sport, but like the kind of fitness side of it, a lot of it is just regurgitated. And like I've seen, like I know the kind of like biomechanical kind of movements of the body and what they should be doing.
Interesting.
And some of the stuff they're doing is completely wrong. Their technique is wrong. And yet then a girl... she's up and she's stunning looking. She's her tan on and like she's doing these exercises. And if you're looking at it, you're like, oh God, it looks really good. But like, you're kind of going, if you actually did that, your back would snap. Oh. Do you know what I mean? So like, I think...
that's so interesting. Yeah. Because it is this peddled image of kind yeah. of a certain type of perfection for our generation.
And how you get
generation.
It. And it's like, you know, there's somebody could put up a fitness post for like 10 minute long workout and... they're like complete, it's not realistic.
And sometimes really what not. Worries me is that that's sponsored some of the time. Yeah, like a company yeah. has paid mm-hmm. because they're putting a stamp on this to promote their brand and yeah. it's not authentic. It's there's just money behind it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So,
yeah,
yeah, I love that. It's really just get out and do the sport, join the club.
Join the club. And even like training. Don't, if you want, like I think, and I think that's like with running, there's a recreational aspect of running. Like if you're doing something like camogie or if you're doing something like, there's not necessarily a fit for life camogie team True. That you can just go away and like puck the ball. So like, True, yeah. it's going to be easier for some sports and harder for other sports. But I think for girls, definitely like that want to pursue it, just go in and like, if it's a team sport, have your own kind of personal goals within that, you know, like focus on your speed, focus on your strength and conditioning, your diet, whatever, like be accountable for yourself and where you stand or what you want to achieve yourself within the team as well. But
I'm actually taking notes here for my actual yeah, life. Yeah, I'm going home and I need to be accountable for myself. I need to set some goals.
Yeah, but yeah, I just think, and you know, with girls that do drop off, you know, like stay in there, but you might have your focus on a different thing for a 2 year stint where you're just not feeling the sport, you're not feeling competition, you're not feeling putting yourself out there.
The angle changes.
Yeah, you know, but like you can, there's other stuff you can do. Mm-hmm. There's other stuff you can do, you know, so.
Don't give up.
Yeah, don't give up. And you will come back to it. Like, you know, there's people do, like you hear all the time, like, oh, I wish I kept up running when I was younger. I wish I kept it
yeah,
on.
Yeah,
I wish
it actually. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it is there for you. You can, once you keep in touch with it, like, and once it's not stressing you out for any particular time, just tap into it when you need it. And it will be there for you when you come back, you know, or when you decide right. to come back.
So do you go out running yourself a lot still?
When I can, you know, and I'd, sometimes like, well, my kind of go-to now is like I do YouTube. They're the better ones. The YouTube, like 20-minute HIIT workout classes.
I'm a massive advocate. Yeah, I can't join a gym at the moment. I can't afford to.
The dinner
to.
Could be on and like I literally turn on 15 the minutes. Smart TV and like I'm inside doing kettlebells or doing whatever.
Can
and
I ask
it's
you
done.
Which, because I'm only looking at the body coach at the moment.
Oh yeah,
he's
one of my faves.
I am so
There's another really good one. It's like a metabolic workout. It's really, that's our kind of a tough one that we go to. That's our like, we're feeling great. Okay. Myself and my friend do it. So that's our kind of go-to. Yeah.
What one is it?
It's 20-minute metabolic workout. If you just
so
tap
there really
that in, he'll turn
no
up.
Excuse, like for
just
not
to tick, and that's some, that for me ticks a box. Mm-hmm. Like it's not getting me fit. Like I'm fit and I'm healthy, but I'm fit for no sport. I'm fit yeah. for nothing as such. But it's for me, do you know?
That's
and
brilliant.
That's where I'm at the minute. Like
that's where it should all start.
Yeah, really. And that's like again, like if in the end, at the end of the day, if I wanted to say, all right, I want to go in, I want to do 5K run. It's there for me if I want to do mm-hmm. it. Yeah. If I decide, you know, I'm kind of like keeping myself. Taken over mm-hmm. that if I do decide to go back sprinting, which
it's
is highly
not
unlikely,
such a big deal,
it's
no.
not. But I have the kind of tools to do it, you know. Yeah. And it's
like banking wellness for yourself, yeah, having an account yeah. and keep topping it up all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's next for the Heffernans? Is there anything juicy goss that we should know?
There might be.
Oh, one or two come things. On.
Yeah, I don't know yet. I haven't decided. Rob decided. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to do it.
Okay.
So all will be
we
revealed.
Will be so excited.
Yeah.
Marion, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
You are
me.
An amazing for ambassador for women, for sports, for Cork and Ireland. And the city needs more people like you. It's so such an honour to have
Thanks
you
so much, guys.
Here.
Thank
and
you.
So many people look up to you. You're fantastic. And Rob. And best of luck with your campaign as well.
Thanks so much.
The run. on, and
we'll all be out running tonight.
Yeah. Well, I'm going straight home to do my metabolic workout.
We'll do it actually. Here after.
Yeah. Good idea.
So thank you for listening to this episode of The Life Hustle. You can find the rest of our series over on redextra.ie, along with all of the other fantastic content, extra content from our friends here at Red FM. So that's myself, Emer, and
Vivian
signing out. Thank you.